Welcome to the Jointery Podcast, a podcast where we study the lives of study the lives of two dads trying to find the balance between the families, hobbies and work. This week on the Jointery, we discover
there were some severe disappointments and they were all food related.
Let's search for the meaning of life as it had never been witnessed before. The Jointery Podcast.
It's always so uneventful when you're like, here we go, and then it's like a 3-second countdown.
I know.
Here we go, and it's like, I want it to start like right then. So,
they put the countdown so tiny in the corner.
Yeah. It started now, though. We are going. And, dude. Glitch. We're glitching. Anyways, welcome back. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you made it home. After a wild weekend in Atlanta, this is our Workbench Con recap show live from the Jointery. Yeah. So that's cool, man. How was it? How was your trip?
Fucking amazing, dude. The whole thing from when Alma picked me up at 3 a.m. till when she dropped me off at like 8:30 at night. So she picked me up 3 a.m. on Wednesday and dropped me off at 8:00 on Sunday. Everything Jeez. In between was awesome. Dude, everything.
That's a mission. That's a straight mission right there. That's like, and Nick was with you too, right? Nick Birchgold?
Yeah. Yep. Titty Nick. Oh my God, dude. That guy is so funny. Dude, like he can't eat when we left with him and the person we dropped off at the end were two different people.
He had become
it was like
a legend,
pre-Titty Nick and post-Titty Nick.
Over the weekend, he became a legend.
I mean, seriously, bro. I mean, between like the three of us, right? Like you have Titty Nick, who everybody is obsessed with right now, right?
Yeah.
And you got Alma, who is like, you know, queen of the maker community, right? She is just beloved. And then you got me, who's just in there fucking throwing snowballs at people. So it was so much fun, dude. But it was crazy. Like when Alma picked me up at 3 a.m, right? We picked up Nick afterwards, right? Because I'm in the middle of the two. And then we hit the road. And like Nick slept for like the first 2 or 3 hours of the drive.
Yeah.
And Alma and I laughed so fucking hard when Nick was asleep. But we joked around about it, and we're like, the next day, neither of us can remember what we talked about.
You guys were just like
fucking delirious, bro.
Yeah, exactly. 3 a.m, delirious talking. That's what it was. No, that's hilarious, man. I was watching it live last night with a few people. I can't even think of their names now because I'm – oh, it was Jonathan from Character Red. His live, and he had a few people on, and they were talking about Workbench Con, and they were all talking about Titty Nick, dude. They were like, he came up in conversation, and they were talking about it, and I thought that was hilarious. I was like,
I mean,
guys, dude, everybody's talking about it. It was because Jonathan won one of his handles.
Okay,
one of the so he was showing
it
off.
Which Jonathan are you talking about?
Character Red.
Oh, the character. Yeah, dude, he carved like 16 of those titty handles before he left. And his intention was to trade those for t-shirts. And it was hilarious. Like the dude at Patrick from Pallet fuck man, why am I getting a blank on his name as I'm talking about him?
Elite pallet,
Pine Barrel Pallet Works, right?
Oh, Pine Barrel Pallet Works, yeah.
Like I was talking to him at the end, and he's like telling me, yeah, you know, I'm telling Nick, like, how much do you think these are worth? He's like, I don't know, like $100, $80. He's like, fuck that, man. He's like, charge $250, and he's like, I don't know. And then Nick turned around and gave him one. He's like, do you have a t-shirt? He was like, no. He's like, it doesn't matter. Here, take some titties. I'm like, he's like, the guy was like fucking floored. I mean, you know, I have one of those. He gave me one. I mean, he's just so generous. But yeah, man.
I get it. the time he spent in the original designing and whatnot. But now he's just tossing them on a machine and cutting titties. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a ton of work for him to do them now. It's not like he's individually hand cutting each titty. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, to a degree, but like, he was telling me that he redesigns his titties every single project he does. Right, he tweaks them and makes them. So that way they all work together. Right,
it's not tweaks, just he tweaks the titties every time.
He does a little titty tweaking, right? and it's I don't know. Everyone's different. So like, yeah, I mean, like, it's not like it's no work either, because he's.
No, I'm not saying there's no work. I'm not saying there's no work, but I'm just saying to him, he's buying the piece of lumber now. That, I mean, that's the time now. I'm saying at the time, yes, he spent a lot of time designing them, and yes, I guess he does a little titty tweaking, but I'm just saying it's a machine that's doing the most of the work, so I can understand why he feels okay just giving them away. You know what I mean? He's not
you need a CNC, bro. You need to see what the CNC life is like. It's not a magical printer that's kicking out titties. You just slap a piece of wood and titties, let's go. There's more to it, dude.
Well, I mean, after you do the initial design work, is there more to it?
Yeah, because like every one that he does, he has to then, after he carves it, which takes 5 hours, right? Then he's got to put a threaded insert in there, right? So he's gotta drill the hole and do the threaded insert. That's not easy, you know.
I wasn't aware of the threaded insert.
Yeah. So anyways, like I said, Titty Dick was a huge hit. It was so fucking
No, I just said I didn't know. I guess that would make what makes it the handle is the insert. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's cool, yeah, man. Maybe he has less manual labor on it than other things, but it's still an incredible accomplishment.
Oh, for sure. I was just making the case that I understand why he feels okay handing them to people and not charging them
$250. Pretty low. Yeah,
yeah. That's but all dude, it's so.
I don't know. I don't know what the fuck happened though, right? So like, we got there, and I forget who told me. I think it was Craig. It might have been Craig from Barefoot Forge, right? Who Craig is a wild man. Like,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
He. If there was a male equivalent of Lindsay, it's Craig. And it's funny they have that show together and they do some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
But so like, I think he said it was Craig who was like when he first got there, he's like, yeah, I charge he's like, I make the boobs. He's like, oh, I know who you are. You're Titty Nick. And fucking after that, bro, everybody called him Titty Nick. And he introduced himself to people as Titty Nick. And Nick is pretty introverted, right? Like he was like on the ride down, he's like, you and Omar are the only people I know, so I'm probably just going to hang with you guys the whole time. That motherfucker, I barely saw him. it was like talking to people the entire time. And he was up like till 3:30 every night. I mean, Titty Dick was fucking burning the candle at every end. So, but it was like, the first night, fucking Lindsay almost got us all kicked out of the bar. It was like 50 of us, because she kept screaming, Titty Nick! And it's like, like the fucking hotel is like wide open, right? So like all the hotel, so like it's just an atrium. So like, dude, you could have been on the 14th fucking floor and you heard Lindsay screaming, Titty Nick. And like the security guard was like, he's like, you're going to have to stop that. And she's like, you can't catch me. I'm like the gingerbread man. And she like fucking bounces off and runs away. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? And like, she was like hiding under a table screaming Titty Nick. And like, you know, she was just having a great time being silly. But
I love Lindsay, man. I love Lindsay.
And like, I thought I was going to get kicked out the first night. Cause like I was, dude, they fuck with me hard. I was sitting there and I didn't realize how loud I was. And the security guard was like, hey, you need to be quiet. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're really fucking loud. And so he warned me twice. And I was like, damn it. So then my buddy Pete, I think it was Pete from Pete Squared or somebody, was at the bar. And the bartender was like, oh, man, I really want a cutting board. And they're like, you should go fuck with that guy over there and then ask him for a cutting board. So like the security guard was sitting there telling me, like, you're going to have to leave if you keep it up. And no less than 10 seconds later, some other dude walks up to me. He's like, okay, dude, it's time for you to go. Right? And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, I'm not really fucking that loud. Like, I'll fucking try to be quiet or whatever. He's like, aha, just kidding. Can I get a cutting board? I was like, fuck you. Fuck you, man. Fuck you very much. Asshole. The news turned out to be super nice. But yeah. Dude, it was
that fucking, was too funny.
Oh my God, dude. But the whole thing, like, it is. Like, I'd never been to Maker's Camp, and I kept calling Workbench Maker's Camp, but I'd never been to Workbench either, right? And it was incredible how much fun these events are, yet how different they are. I mean,
because I've never been to either. I've never been to either. Yeah. I've never been to either one. So I was going to ask you, what's the, like, main, like, differences that you saw between the two? You know what I mean?
Like, the educational component of Workbench. That's really those classes that you could take, right? That's the big difference. Like, at Maker's Camp, I'm gonna fuck this up. I know I am. At Maker's Camp, I don't know if I could, like, remember. I'm gonna have to, like, write it down on my whiteboard, like, which one is which one, right? But at Maker's Camp, you do learn things, but it's more like physical skills. Right. Like, you learn how to weld, you learn how to, you know, flatten a board with a flattening system. You learn how to forge, you learn how to manipulate metals. Like, you learn, like, physical stuff. Right. Yeah. But, like, you don't learn. Stuff. And like, I took so many notes. You learn a lot about, like, video strategy, editing, filming, YouTube strategy, all stuff that are related towards growing your channel and your business. That's what Workbench is. So, like if you want to go to one of the two and your goal is for your channel to grow this year, I'd say go to Workbench. Whereas if you just, like, want to hang out with other makers, like, I would maybe say Makers Camp. If I had to choose between the two, I would definitely pick Workbench over Makers Camp, even it being more expensive, because I would say, like, there's so many contests giving away tickets. Like, I won tickets this year, and I said before, like, oh, I'll just buy tickets if I don't win them. But, like, I think that you know, next year I might buy tickets and then try to win one, and if I win one, I'll give away my ticket or some shit.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, like, I mean, I learned so much, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you had a good time at Maker's Camp and, you know, got to meet a lot of cool people. But it seems like what you took away from Workbench Con is a little more substantial for what you are looking for right now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
specifically. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong, dude. There's no losing in this. Right.
Like,
Maker's Camp is a ton of fun, you know, and it's interesting. Not everybody who goes to Maker's Camp goes to Workbench, and not everybody who goes to Workbench goes to Maker's Camp. There's maybe like a 25% crossover. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you got 10 dudes there, three of them went to Maker's Camp. Right. And the other, seven, you know, and then it's really the same thing. Like, if you're at Maker's Camp, three of them went to Workbench, you know?
Yeah. So, I get it.
Yeah,
that's cool. Man.
I mean, New York is also super far for people.
Yeah, definitely. No, definitely. And the accommodations are different. It's harder to get accommodations at Maker's Camp than it is at Workbench Con.
The accommodations are different, bro. Say that the accommodations between Workbench and Maker's Camp are different. You're understating it dramatically, right? Like, Maker's Camp, it's like basically you get the homelessness experience, right? You get the homeless experience, right? You're scrounging for food, okay? Like, your living situation is precarious at best, even if you're in the hotel, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas, like, Workbench is at a, you know, a Renaissance hotel or whatever, forget the name of it is. But, you know, it's nice enough hotel. So
yeah. It's a little different. It's a different experience. I haven't done either, like I said, but I've heard enough about the two that I know the difference. You know, I can tell. But
I'll put it to you like this, okay? I showered every day at Workbench Con.
Copy.
I didn't. I showered once at Baker's Camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same amount of time
it
gone.
It was like
too.
Funky camp, dude. It's definitely a funk to Baker's Camp, bro.
That's awesome, though, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah. Did you meet a bunch of people that you? I mean, you had to meet a ton of people you don't know, right? Or did you? Or you know, you don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Well, I met some people that I didn't know that were really cool. And I met some people that I've been just waiting and dying to meet. Like I finally got to fucking meet Mike Alm, right? That was, that was just like, it was so exciting to meet him and he was excited to meet me, which was cool. And like Mike Alm is very popular. So like every time I tried talking to him, like other people were like interrupting us and coming up, not as bad as it was when I was trying to talk to Paul Jackman or like Jimmy DiResta. Like Paul Jackman, I had the fucking, remember Avengers Endgame, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I had the Ant-Man experience hanging next to Paul Jackman, right? Where like, you remember when they're at that diner and it's like the Hulk and Captain America, or no, it's like Ant-Man, and, like they're all at the table and like someone comes up to take a picture with the Hulk and they're like, we don't need your picture, dude. He's like, but I'm Ant-Man. They're like, yeah, we don't give a fuck. Can you like get out of the way? Like yeah, that's exactly. The same experience I had with Paul Jackman, right? Like I'm sitting there talking to him and like, you know, we're just shooting the shit. Like, you know, I'm like talking about nothing as I talk about all the time. And like this dude comes up with his wife and he's like, can I get a photo with you? And Paul's like, yeah, yeah, sure. And I was like, hey, do you want me in it or no? And the guy was like, no.
Fair enough. You had to see that coming. You had to see that coming.
Come I mean, on. You never know. You never know. But yeah, he was totally the whole in terms of like social media presence for Makers, Paul Jackman is the Hulk and I am Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I could do some cool shit. And they're like, yeah, yeah, cool, cool. Anyways, you know.
That's cool, man. So all the, you got to see all the make fun guys. They were all there hanging out, having a good time or what?
Not all of them. Graz wasn't there.
Oh, Graz wasn't there.
Graz wasn't there. But yeah, but also, dude, I'll be honest with you, man. I made a new best friend while I was there.
New best friend?
New best friend. Yes.
All right. I'm all ears.
Sam from DIY Huntress.
Oh yeah. I don't know her personally. I know of her.
Oh my God. I don't really remember exactly what happened. Right. But we were talking, okay, and for some reason we got on the subject of television shows, right? And I just said, man, I'm really friggin' bummed out. I was like, I didn't get to watch the last two episodes of Perfect Match before coming here, right? Which is one of those Netflix dating shows that I like.
Yes, yes, we've heard all about it.
Dude, and she was like, I just watched them. Holy fucking shit. And dude, we did not start talking about those shows, those Netflix shows for the rest of the night. She's got me watching. I'm going to be watching The Circle next, which I didn't realize was a dating show. And I recommended to her F Boy Island. And I think we met these two other people. Fuck, I can't remember their names off the top of my head. Hold on. I'll tell you. Met these two other people because we were talking about it and they heard us talking about it. And they're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, let's talk about this even more. So now we have a group on Instagram and a group thread
and reality, trashy reality show.
Yeah. It's Aaron from Aaron Makes Things. She was awesome. And Vanessa from First Gen House. And like, dude, like, this chat has been pretty consistent since then. Like, I don't know which one of them put it together, but like we're all discussing like doing a watch party for the finale or the reunion show for Perfect Match, right? and we might like start a show where it's just us discussing like reality dating shows, right? I mean, like the love, the passion that everybody had, it was incredible. And like Dave fucking filmed us talking to Paul Jackman about it at dinner one night. It was goddamn the funniest thing. I like afterwards I watched it and I was like, oh my God. Like it was like we're all sitting at the table and Sam and I were just talking about how crazy this one episode of Perfect Match was, and Paul was like faking interest. Cause I don't think like I don't think he even watches any TV. And he's like, And like Dave ends up panning to Titty Nick, who was also at the table, and Titty Nick was just like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Dude, it was so fucking funny, man. I was cracking up. Oh my fucking God, she's so nice.
They have those.
Don't worry, I'm still going to do this podcast, even if I do a show about reality dating shows.
Oh, so I'm not worried.
Yeah,
you have my blessing, sir.
Thank you.
You could be like one of those after the show. You know, when you watch those HBO shows, I don't know if you ever watch any of those or Netflix shows. They have those after or after the shows or the reaction shows. That's what I'm talking about. You guys,
could, that's what we're gonna have. We're gonna start our own. I mean, we might be famous.
That would be awesome.
But I will have to take notes on some of these shows because I usually watch them when I'm super high. So, like, I can't remember half the fucking people's names. They're like, "Do you remember when Charlotte was blah blah blah?" And I'm like, "Which one's her? Like the blonde one with the, you know, weird face?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, she's fucking crazy, you know."
So Debbie would love to talk to you guys about this shit.
She's into
that shit.
Fucking amazing. So but hey, while I'm on the subject of ridiculous shit, one of our Patreons took a massive shit in my room.
Which one? Wait, I gotta know which one. I mean, was it he flushed at least, right?
Yeah, so what happened was that I went up to the room and it was like God knows what in the morning, maybe like 1:30 or some shit like that. Or maybe it was like 1 or midnight, I don't remember. But I walked in to take care of something real quick and I was like, I'll just pee when I'm in here. And like I could tell that the bathroom door was like in a different position than it was when I left. So I shared a room with Titty Nick, right? And because Alma had, you know, for doing her thing, she had her own room. And so like I went in there and I was like, so I popped the door open to go to the bathroom. And dude, it was fucking like somebody threw a wet bucket of fucking shit smell on my face. And I was like, oh God, it was like hot and blasting. So I was like, oh my God. So I went up to Nick afterwards and I was like, yo, man. I was like, did you take a fucking huge deuce in the room? Because dear Lord. And he was like, no. He's like, I haven't been up there. He's like, but I did give my key to somebody. I don't know if I should mention it by name. I don't want to embarrass the guy, right?
Oh, come on.
Okay, fine. Look. I get it. It was Corey.
Damn, Corey, that's dirty, bro.
Dude, it was beefy, man. It's funny because like Nick didn't even shit in the room the whole time. He like every time he would take a deuce, he went down to the lobby, right? So I found
that's a considerate roommate.
Yeah, but like Corey, unfortunately, wasn't able to stay at the hotel, so he stayed at the one next door. So he left beer in our room, right? Because the bar shuts down at whatever like 1:30 or something like that, but they go until like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning almost. So like, you know, he had beer in our room. And so Nick gave him the key to go get the beer, and he was like, hey, while I'm here, I might as well take a shit. It's like, God damn it, Corey.
That is some serious disrespect, man.
It the funny part was this, I was blaming Nick because like I assumed he was the only one in there. And then he was like, oh no. Because I'm not gonna take this pain. And he's just there you go, Corey. So
well
that,
done.
That kid, that guy is healthy. That's all I gotta say. He's
regular. Really healthy.
I mean, look, it wasn't messy in there. Like if the horrific smell wasn't in there, you would have never known. So, you know, but I get it too. Like you're on the road, you're not eating the normal foods you're in. You're drinking a lot of beer. Like, yeah, all of a sudden you gotta take a massive deuce. You don't want to go down. Wait, like, because like our hotel room was also like on the opposite side from the elevators. So like. Every time you went to the room, you had to take like a full lap of the hotel, right?
Got it.
Yeah. So, like, if you had to go and you had to go now, like, making it to the lobby and making it to that bath. I'm not saying this is what happened to him because all I did was harass him about it, right? And I think he's going to have me on his podcast to discuss this, right?
As yeah. he should.
Yeah, like they're going to be like, hey, you know, we want to tell us about your background, Luke. I'm like, no, let's talk about you shitting in my room at WorkbenchCon.
Exactly.
you know me, dude. There's no way I'm letting this one go for a while.
No, that's
because it's so fucking funny. Now I need to shit in his room. So
there's no way he's letting you near his key, dude. Are you kidding me? You're gonna have to steal that thing.
I'm gonna fucking go be like, oh, let me see your room, and then fucking just turn left and go right into the bathroom. Just boom. All your clothes are gonna smell funky for the rest of the trip, bro. That said, like, I definitely got a chance to hang out with him more, a little bit more than I did at Maker's Camp. And you know, he's a great guy. And I finally got to see his CNC. And his CNC is dope, dude. The one he built, the rotary CNC.
Oh yeah, the Cyclone. Dude, it looks sick. Super sick.
It can handle like 6 or 7 inches by like 36 inches. So you can make like table legs on this thing. You can make, I don't know. I told him, like, if I ever get one, I'm only making lightsabers, so it doesn't matter.
Only lightsabers and wands, yeah. I'm assuming.
Bubs is really into Harry Potter right now, so
I know. Wands. That's what I was thinking. That's cool, man. I'm glad you got a chance to hang out. I was kind of bummed. I never saw a patron photo op. You guys never got together.
It was the picture of Lee in the Bumble Shoots booth.
Just Lee peeing in the corner.
Yeah.
Just that one.
Yep.
That's awesome. What are the hours like as far as like, are you guys up early in the morning for classes, or is this like starts at like noon kind of thing, or
no, how does it work? It starts. Well, so the first day, Friday, I think it was, because like it's funny, man. Like we got there Wednesday afternoon, and people get there on Thursday and they just hang out, right? Because there's no class and shit like that. So like Friday and Saturday, they have meals and stuff provided for breakfast and lunch. And then you're on your own for dinner. And like the first day, so breakfast was supposed to be 8 to 10. Then at 10, there's the keynote. I think it was 10. And then like the first class is at like 11, you know?
Got it.
So like the classes all were like 90 minutes long. And they were like 11 to 12:30. And then there was like a 2:30 to 4 o'clock. And then it was like a 4:30 to 6 o'clock, like windows of time. And there was more classes than you had time to take, right? So so each day had three, you pick three classes that you're essentially able to go to. So like, you know, the second day there's another three, but like there's probably 10 classes. So
is it the same classes each day?
Yeah. Yeah. So like,
oh, okay.
The ones that I chose were, one was about presenting to sponsors, which was by Chris from Make Everything, right?
Yeah, Chris Zepp.
I consider myself an expert in talking to sponsors and was still able to get some new tips out of there. You know, like one of the things he mentioned that I really liked was when you reach out to a company, not only do you, when you talk about yourself, he was like, he's like, you know, make sure to include in there that you have shared values. You share values with the values of the company, right? So it requires you to go a little bit extra step. But like the example he gave was like this one product was, you know, it made a big emphasis on safety. And he was like, I make a huge emphasis on safety in my shop, right? And like, so like your brand and my brand fit together. And I was like, fuck, man, that was smart. I got a whole, dude, I took so many notes, man. It was crazy.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you, what's like, whatever your main takeaways that you got from the classes, you know what I mean? Cause I was just kind of curious.
So, yeah. So in his, the value one, and then it was like just really knowing your audience, right? So like mine, you know, I know my audience is a mix of professionals and amateurs, right? And I know that most of my people are woodworkers, you know, so I know that. Then I took a class after that was YouTube tips, like starting and growing a YouTube channel. And that was John from Lincoln Street. And I forget the dude's name from Blacktail Studios. Right.
Okay.
And like they talked a lot about how to build and grow YouTube. And I was getting ready to post my YouTube video, my one that I filmed and edited already, which is Everything I Hate About My Shop Tour.
Oh, yeah.
So, and like, you know, one of the things they were talking about is like, you know, it's better to have like 4 or 5 videos when you first start, right? Because like if somebody likes your video, it's good to be able to say, well, hey, check out this other video, right? And like,
yeah,
like you have a few in there. So like I have...
That's like what we did with our with the podcast. That's what we did when we started this thing. The first four, I think, at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I have two in there. I've got the Blade Buddy and the Rainbow Sledgehammer, and I've got this other one filmed. So I'm going to film another one, hopefully in the next couple weeks. It's going to be a much simpler video. So that way I'll have, like, I could put up those other two at once. And then, like, one big thing is, like, a lot of guys are talking about, like, if your video doesn't perform, you should retitle it and put a new thumbnail on it. So I'm going to retitle and re-thumbnail the two existing videos, edit their descriptions, put in there these two new videos, and then I'm going to kind of like relaunch my channel. So
nice.
But it's interesting, like talking to them or hearing them and compared to like in terms of like the other video seminars I took Suman, his video class, which was excellent. I took the Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson had a class, which was how to film everything on your iPhone. And then
how'd that go?
It was cool. You know, like they basically were like, with the right equipment, you don't need a DSLR. And like, it was interesting because like Bao Loy, right? Bao and Suman, they are really into photography and video, right?
For them.
You know, they were like, yeah, DSLR camera works for them, you know. Yeah, but the challenges with that is like someone like myself who doesn't know those cameras that well, you know, it might not be better than using an iPhone, right? Whereas you know, so if you don't want to learn how to use a DSLR, you're probably better off using an iPhone. Whereas like, if you are interested in using that stuff, then like you could really level up your shit. But all four of them all said that audio, which you've said this before too, audio is far more important than your video quality, you know, your lighting could dramatically increase your video quality. So I'm going to sell my DSLR camera and I'm going to use it to buy a really nice microphone, one of those Rode mics.
Yep.
I'm going to also buy some extra lighting, you know, so that way, like, I could try to do a little bit of control and like make my shots a little prettier, you know?
Yeah. So
it's
a good idea, man. I mean, that's awesome. What a great takeaway, especially what a great class too, like the iPhone one, because I'd say the majority of people, I mean, I'm obviously speculating, but I would think the majority of makers aren't, you know, photographers as well. So they don't really have the DSLR cameras on hand. They might have, you know, down the road buy one, but I'd bet the majority of people shoot on their iPhones or whatever phone cameras they have.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. And Jason Hibbs from Bourbon Moth, you know, he was basically like, yeah, every time it's time for me to upgrade my phone, I don't sell my old one. You know, he's like, then I got an extra camera in my shop. You know, and I'm like,
that's smart.
Fucking, it makes a lot of sense, you know? So, yeah. So those were great. I also took, this one class, which was by, the Pine Barrel Palette Works, Patrick and, Carlina. And, theirs was making the algorithm work for you. And one of the things that was interesting that they kind of were alluding to, and like, it's like funny, like you see all these seminars and you kind of like mix and mash the advice together. But like Bao was talking about how he went from posting 7 times a week to twice a week, and he didn't see any decline in how many people he reached over the time period. And it didn't make a difference for him, right? And then like Pine Barrel and Pat and Carlina were talking about like they sometimes even double posted, but they really focused on the days where their videos did well, right? Like really learning when your audience looks
so like if they posted on a Tuesday and that one did good, next week they're gonna post on Tuesday.
Or they'll focus on post that day. I went back while I was at dinner. I was having dinner with Grant from Dad Crafted and a bunch of other dudes, but Grant and I were talking about it the whole time. And I went back, you know, because I've been complaining about my channel, right? And maybe my content's just boring or just not good enough. I think it's good and people like it, but like I really think I could do better. So, you know, I went and looked to see on my last, I went all the way back to beginning of December, and every video I had that broke 10,000 views were all on Saturdays, Sunday, Mondays, and Tuesdays. Mm. Every video that was on Thursdays and Fridays bombed. So I had a couple pop off on a Wednesday, but it was nowhere near Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So like, I'm thinking about like, you know, if I have filler shit, right? And I know those videos aren't going to do good on a Thursday, Friday. I'm just going to waste those videos on those days, right? Whereas, like, the other ones, you know, if I really, like, have a funny one or, a really high-quality one, I'm going to post those on Saturdays or Sundays.
Did anybody mention anything about, like, reposting old videos?
Oh, yeah.
Like, anything like that?
Yeah, like, that was another one. That, like, because... You know, most people who follow you, right? You know, you think about it. Like, if you find a new person that you like, you're like, oh, this person is really cool. You go into their account and you're going to swipe a couple times. You're going to look at like their last 20 or 30 videos, right? And you're not going to watch every single one, right?
Correct.
Maybe from their thumbnails. Like you'll pick those videos, right? Which I have kind of moved away from. I should look and see if. So I started a spreadsheet, right, about all of this.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I was like, what happened?
No, because I was thinking about it. Because like on my spreadsheet, right, I just like what I'm doing, right, is I went and I'm looking at, I'm plugging in all my videos, right. And I started August 1st, right? And I'm plugging into a spreadsheet every one of my videos on Instagram. And the stuff I'm looking at is what day of the week I posted, how many views, what was the subject, what happened in the first 3 seconds, did I have text overlay, how many likes, comments, saves, and shares I got, how many of the posts went to non-followers versus followers, right? And how long the video was. Did I do a voiceover and, did I collab with anybody and what was the type of video? And the types are kind of like, was it a build video? Was it a quick build? Was it a funny one? Was it a tip video? Was it a, you know, I had some that are funny commercials. One was epoxy tip, you know? So like what I hope to be able to do when I punch the rest of these in there. Because you're talking about August, September, October, November, December, January, February. That's 7.5 months we're away. So, it's Jesus Christ. 350 videos I have to plug into this spreadsheet, right?
Wow, that's a lot of work.
No, that's not right. No, that's not 350. It's 30 days and 30, 60, 90. Oh, yeah, three times.
7 times 3 is 21.
Yeah, it's still. So, it's like 240 videos almost. I'm gonna end somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm at like line 19. But once I have like all that information, I'll be able to look and say, like, okay, well, let me look at all my Tuesday videos and let me look at all my Wednesday videos. And I could create like a pivot table and kind of deep dive and nerd out on the data. And then I'll be up from that. I'll be able to say, like, okay, like, I've really identified what videos do really well on my channel, and I will do more of those. And the ones that kind of bomb, instead of putting out more bomb type videos, I will do experimental videos, right? To test to see if I could get something to pop on a day off, right? So, you know,
it's worth, anything's worth a try, right? I mean, all this work, everything you're putting into it, I think it's probably good, you know, to try and do all that. Do these people that are teaching these classes, do they have like facts and data to back up what they're teaching, as far as like, do they show you doing A and B equals C, and like they kind of have an example or are they just kind of speculating what they've had success in? And because like at the end of the day, it's like we're all fighting this, you know, this monster, which is Meta, Instagram, whatever, and we're all trying to figure out what the best solution is. I'm just curious. Do they show you data and stuff?
Suman did. Okay, Bao cool. talked about it. Okay. And a lot of people talked about it. Suman really got into some of the data, and he was like, he went and found specific posts. Yeah. And he's like, you know, here's posts and how they performed on Instagram and how they performed on YouTube or TikTok. And like, you know, he was like, here's two posts and like, here's one of them that did 20,000 views and here's one that did 2 million views. And like, you know, like comparing those two and saying like, you know, this one did well and it could be because of these, and this one did okay and like, you know, or really well and it could be for these contributing factors. But like, when it all comes down to it, it's really knowing your channel, right? Because they were everybody there, even the work in the algorithm class, right? Which I took a lot of notes in, right? Like, it was still like, figure out your own channel, right? So like, some of the notes I took from their class was like, they double posted on Sundays, right? And Mondays, because they found those days were really good for them. They also suggested posting in 4K, right? Because I guess Instagram behind the scenes changed how they process and compress videos. And like, they were basically like, it could get more priority by using a 4K. That's one I'm probably going to wait to test. Just because like
struggle with. How do you shoot now?
I shoot in 1080 and Jason Hibbs from Bourbon Loft said there's no point in shooting 4K, even for YouTube, you know? So
I shoot everything in 4K just because I just think it looks cleaner. But that's just I didn't know that they were giving preferential treatment for that. But
that's interesting
to hear.
Dude, one of the crazy thing is like, Bao really talked about lighting, and he's like every one of my videos, he was like, all of the lighting that comes in my shop is from the garage door.
Yeah, he's like, I heard him say that.
You know, he's like, I don't use overhead lighting. I don't use anything else fancy. And I'm like, Jesus, bro. He's like, yeah. He's like, that's the way I do it. He's like, because I really like that look. And
I was going to say, he has a very minimalist look when it comes to his lighting, but it's always really clutch. It looks really nice.
Yeah, and like, so I took certain things away from every class and kind of came up with a whole Luke in the Garage 3.0, right? And I think I'm on version 3 now, or it's about to be version 3. Season 3 of Luke in the Garage. you know, where I'm going to change up. Like, dude, I'm it was funny. I was talking to Suman afterwards. I'm like, thanks, bro. I'm selling my camera now. And he was like, what? That's not what I told you to do. Like, yeah, but I'm prioritizing audio over video.
Did you buy like a rig for your phone that's gonna hold the camera, the phone, the mic, and whatnot?
No. What I did was So Bart Comer, right? He recommended he has one of these, like, it's like a clip, and it has like one, you know, like those gorilla pods, right? With the bendy legs. Yeah. So it's just like one bendy leg with a camera mount on the end of it, right? So I already had one of those. I bought a second one of those. And what he does is he clips it to his tripod, right? So that way when he films, he's got one camera on one and one on the other. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the camera on one, and I'm going to put the
microphone
lighting on another one.
Oh, the lighting.
Yeah. Got it. Because they were talking about lighting directions. I want to see if I could create some. And I'm also going to make a new Wobie jig. So, I thought about it, I was really complaining that, like, I didn't want to make another one because of floor space in my shop. But I realized, like, my tripod takes up way more space than a bucket would, you know? So, like, I can figure out.
Why don't you hang it from the ceiling like a lot of people do? A lot of people will put, like, posts coming down from their ceiling that they put their Wobie jigs on. You know what I mean? So that way it doesn't take up any floor space.
Because, like, I'm really nervous about putting things up there that will be blocked by the garage door, you know? I still need, like, if I put one up there, I'd have to put it on the back end of my garage. And I'd have to reorientate half my tools to make it make sense. I need to be able to move it around the shop.
Wasn't considering the garage door opening and closing as much as you do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And like Keith Johnson, like the way he does his is he has a couple pipes with L bars, L brackets, you know? And he has like one by his miter saw, and he's got like one by some other tool. And he's got
coming the off the wall.
Yeah. So that way, if he needs to do some miter shots, he can easily do that. Right.
So carry like that's over, set it up.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good move. There's no way I could like mention every single thing I took away from it, but like
no, it's cool though. I mean, just the fact that you took stuff away from it is what's important. You know what I mean? Like that you didn't go there and like leave and go like, oh, well, I didn't learn shit. You know what I mean? But I had a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
Dude, it was funny, man.
I'm sure there's probably some people who did that, who, you know, left.
Dude, I was talking to one dude, and he was like, yeah, I'm not taking any classes. And I was like, what? What do you mean? He was like, yeah, I'm not taking any classes. He's like, I don't know if he even bought a ticket to Workbench. He was like, I'm just here to hang out with people. This is my own personal vacation I take every year. And I was like looking at him. He's like, yeah, I went frisbee golfing today or some shit. I was like, I felt like that was a missed opportunity, right? Like you're that close. Like, why wouldn't you take these classes? You know,
because do you have to have a ticket to hang out in the bar area and stuff like that? Do they? So anybody can just be hanging out. Got it.
Dude, I don't even think you really need a ticket to even go to Workbench, kind of, to be honest with you. I didn't see anybody checking badges, you know, so
like you heard it here first.
Yeah, you want to sneak in a Workbench, fucking just go. Like nobody checking shit. You can hit like I think Titty Nick was telling me he forgot his badge one day and like nobody said shit to him, you know.
Oh man, he's Titty Nick. Come on.
He's Titty.
Who's gonna say something to him?
I mean, you're a fucking idiot if you fuck with Titty Nick. He's like fucking beloved by the community.
He's like the mob boss. Titty Nick.
Well, fuck with Titty Nick, dude. But
like, I mean, you said all the positives. Were there any negatives? Were you like,
yes,
disappointed? Yes.
There were some severe disappointments, and they were all food related. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Fuck you. Well, first of all, one of the parts I do not love about Workbench Con is dinner time, right? Because like everybody's supposed to go fucking figure it out on their own, right? And like you get some people are going one way, some people are going another way, and like it's just a real awkward experience, right? But like the first thing I'll tell you is I don't think I'm ever going to eat Five Guys again. Holy fuck. That place sucks. I couldn't believe how bad that place sucked.
Wait, you've never had it before and this is the first time?
I don't think I've ever had it where I paid attention to what was going on. Like, I haven't had it in like 5 years at least. And like, okay. We were driving down. They're like, hey, let's stop somewhere. And like, we pull in front of like, it's like a Jersey Mike's next to a Five Guys. And I said, all right, let's try Five Guys out, right? And I got a regular burger, a regular fries, and a fountain drink. And it was $23. I'm like,
yeah.
Dear fucking Lord, that's expensive.
Yeah.
The burger was fine. It wasn't great. And it was a double patty burger. I probably could have gotten away with a single. And then they had so many fucking French fries in this bag that if I'd have known that they would have given you like a hefty garbage bag full of French fries, I would have gotten small. Like maybe save myself a couple bucks. I was very disappointed in that. And then the other meal that I was fucking angry at is we went to Punch Bowl Social one night. Oh God, that place sucked ass.
I don't know what that is.
Dude, it's a like a fucking, it's like a place for 23-year-olds to go like play ski, like shoot fucking, I don't know, they got games and fuck, I don't know, it's fucking stupid, man. It's like a more adult version of Dave and Buster's, right? They don't have the arcade games. They got fucking adult bar games and shit like darts.
I was gonna say, why were you old ass motherfuckers hanging out at a 20-something?
Because one of the dudes in our group was like, let's just eat here, right? He's like, we ate here the other night. It was great. So the whole crew went in there, and they immediately sat us down. And they're like, but they didn't sit us down at a fucking table. They sat us down on a couch, right? I sit down next to Titty Nick, and I look at him. He looks at me, and he's like, this isn't ideal. I'm like, no fucking shit. And it fucking took like over 2 hours for we all to get food and out of there, man. So like,
oh my gosh,
I wanted to get back to the hotel so I could cause more chaos and like fucking trapped in this goddamn restaurant. I'm like, get me the fuck out of here. Fuck this place. You know? So yeah, that's
I know. It's brutal.
Yeah. And then the only part about actual workbench that sucked was that one breakfast that like I rolled down there at like 8:30 and the dude was like, yeah, we're all out of food. He was like, we've already served as many people as we were paid to serve today. And I was like, they fucking sold tickets to this. They know how many people are coming to get breakfast. How is that possible? It's supposed to start at 8. How could you be done at 8:30? He's like, well, we've been serving people since 7. I'm like, well, it wasn't supposed to be open at 7. What the fuck are you talking about? Why are you serving people at 7? So I didn't get breakfast that day. I had to buy my own breakfast, which sucked. But I will say, on a positive note, I finally ate at a Waffle House.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When you went to buy breakfast, you went to Waffle House. So that must have been awesome.
Well, no. One of the times we went to Waffle House, that was on Thursday morning. On Friday morning, okay. I had to get food in the hotel. So it was another $23 fucking like hotel continental breakfast. It was fucking
it was the worst.
Fine. It was whatever. But the Waffle House was incredible. I ended up buying a Waffle House hat and coffee mug. it's coming to me right now. I am a big fan of the Waffle House now. Yeah. I get it. I understand it. I'm feeling what the Waffle House is putting down.
Talk to me about the waffle. Talk to me about the waffle. Is it a thick Belgian style waffle or is it a thinner multi like with a bunch of little squares in them?
It's the size of a Belgian waffle diameter wise, right? But the height of it is like maybe if like if an Eggo, right? Like, okay. but an Eggo is like maybe like a half inch, let's say.
Half inch, roughly.
Yeah. This was like maybe like just slightly over that. So it was a thin waffle, but it was very tasty, perfectly cooked. And like they got the their version of the All-Star breakfast or whatever, and it had like a thousand things in it. It was like toast, eggs, hash brown, bacon, and a waffle for like $12. I was like,
sounds great.
Fuck yeah! And their coffee was good. I was like, man, we could eat at the Waffle House every fucking day.
I was about to say, I
I probably would have been at the Waffle House every day eating breakfast. This is because that's who I am. I'm that guy. I would get up early to do that.
Yeah, and we weren't the only ones with that idea either, which was hilarious, because like we went to the Waffle House and we looked for the closest one, and believe it or not, it was closed because it was being remodeled. Which, what?
That's right? What happened to me in Arizona. I remember I told you we drove by a Waffle House. It was closed for remodeling, so I didn't get to go. I was so bummed.
Why would they ever need to remodel that? I don't get it.
Right.
So
just keep bringing out beautiful waffles. Nobody cares what you're sitting on or what they're eating on. Just keep feeding them waffles.
Exactly. Fucking exactly. Like you have one fucking job. Stay open, serving waffles. That's it. Just do that job. Like you don't need to make a fucking place nicer. You don't need fucking fancier booths.
No, dude, picnic benches would be fine, man. As long as I'm getting my waffle, that's all I care about.
Like, yeah, and like I was thinking to myself, like, man, part of me wanted to like take all the eggs and all the hash browns and all the bacon, put them on top of the waffle, and make it into a giant taco.
Oh yeah, dude, I used to do that all the time because there was this spot by my house called Jim's Burgers, and mm-hmm. they made the best breakfast, dude. Their breakfast was, I used to go there for breakfast a lot. But when I'd have to go to work out in LA, when I was delivering auto parts at one point in my life, I would drive by there and I'd scoop up the pancake meal, right? Mm-hmm. It just came with two pancakes, eggs, and bacon. And I'd get the eggs scrambled and I'd make breakfast tacos on the way to work. And that's how I'd eat. I'd put the pancakes with the eggs and then a strip of bacon.
That's smart.
Dude, it's just it's the best, dude. I love that shit.
Yeah.
So good.
Dude, it was delightful.
Yeah.
Other than that, like most of the food was meh at best, you know. So
yeah, we're not there for the food.
Zero to brag about. I mean, but the food is always a component. You gotta think about the food.
No, for sure. But how are the booze?
The booze?
Or boobs. Everybody was
the boobs?
No.
What are we talking about?
I said how are the booze? Yeah, the drinks.
I didn't drink anything the whole time, dude. I was just getting high.
Oh, you didn't drink at all?
Not really.
That's great. Huh.
No, I just was smoking
weed in Rome.
And I'll tell you, weed consumption compared to Maker's Camp, considerably down.
Really?
Much less opportunity to smoke. Dude, I smoked a lot of weed at Maker's Camp. Like, a ton of weed. And
outside, outdoors.
Yeah.
Easier access. Did you smoke up in your room, or where did you smoke? Nah. In the lobby, like, or outside, or what?
I went outside this one door. And they had a camera pointed at, like, by the door, and I just kind of tucked around the corner with some people. So.
Oh, okay.
And unlike Maker's Camp, I did not get the entire event high.
Yeah. It's not the same makeup, I guess.
I wanted to tell you though. Besides all that, dude, the video thing that I did for the podcast, dude, I've had so many people reach out to me, and they're like, that is a brilliant way to promote your podcast. And that was not the intention that I had going into it.
That was the intention I had for you going into it. That's what we talked about.
I mean, we talked about it, but like, I thought it was just be a funny thing to do. Right. And it turned out to be like really fucking funny. So like I filmed 50 people. Okay.
Yeah.
And I made 50 people uncomfortable. Well, no. I made 40 people uncomfortable and feel awkwardly uncomfortable, which was so fucking funny, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, I did the same thing to everybody. I'm like, okay, two-question interview. You ready? They're like, I'm ready. Let's go. And I gave them no opportunity to prep or anything. I immediately hit record, right? And I was like, okay, what is the jointery, right? And like 10 people were like, it's a podcast, right? And some of them surprised me, some didn't. Like, obviously, Lee is a Patreon. He knows we have a podcast. You know, and like Corey knows we have a podcast. Like I had them in there. I don't know how Corey wasn't in my video today, but yeah, like they knew we had a podcast. But like most of the people did not know that we had a podcast. So I would say, you know, what's the joint here? And they're like when wood comes together. And I was like, no, it's our podcast. And then I would pause to their reaction, right? And dude, everybody was like, oh, bro, was I supposed to know that? Like, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know you had a podcast. Like, oh, God. And it was so, their fucking responses were great. I posted that one of Pete from Petrie in my stories yesterday. And like, that's how a lot of those ones are, right? They're like, the people are like, oh, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and dude, I was laughing so hard when I recorded the Jimmy DiResta one that I'm kind of upset. So. Like his reaction when I said it's a podcast, his eyes like bugged out, but you could only see one eye because I fell over laughing. Right. yeah. And then the other one, per jointery rules, I said, what is your treat yourself treat? Right. And some people immediately thought I was talking about tools. And I'm like, no. Food. Treat yourself food wise. They're like, oh, and it was interesting. A lot of people were savory treat yourself people, and a lot of people were sweets, you know? So
yeah,
I can't wait to share that. Fucking Paul Jackman. He's like, what's your treat yourself treat? He's like, ketchup.
What a weirdo.
So fucking funny.
Weirdo. Oh man,
but so you know,
funny. Yeah, no, it was genius, bro. Like, I mean, the responses have been great. I mean, people got like tons of comments on these videos. You know, it's good. It gets the name out there. You know, I'd like to see what kind of percentage of them actually start listening. You know,
but. Well, I think when so my plan is that I got to edit one more for tomorrow, and then I'm gonna do the snack one. So that'll be Thursday, right? And then I'm going to go back to my regularly scheduled program. But I'm going to start editing and posting every day one of the people I interviewed, right? And, you know, I think, like, when people see that and they'll see the other ones on there and they see that, like, all that content, maybe some of people were, like, they immediately plugged it into their phone. Like, all right, I'll put it on my list right now so I can check it out later. I don't know if they're going to do that. I do that shit. You know, but it was... Look, we'll see, man. Maybe this is the break that we needed, you know. But I really, really regretted not bringing with jointery stickers.
Yeah, I know. We said that last time at the other event.
We got the money for it.
We should just buy some. But then again, you don't. I mean, they're only promotional for events. We can't mail them out because neither of us really want to be responsible for mailing them out. But
yeah. And a lot of we'll people were like, that. Yeah. But a lot of people were like, oh man, can I be on your podcast? And I was like, you haven't really listened to it. So like, why don't you listen to it first? Then we can talk, you know, I'm like, you know, but I do think it'd be a good idea to get some, like put some more people on the spot. But you know, I really hope people check out the podcast, and they enjoy it. And so.
No, I think it was great, dude. It was genius marketing, dude. Honestly, you got some really great reactions. You already sent me the video that you like shared today. You sent it to me yesterday, and I showed it to Debbie, and Debbie was laughing her ass off. She thought it was funny.
And the other part of the video that I didn't even realize, right, is it's a perfect loop video, right?
So once you
watch the last one and you see the first one again, you might watch like four or five of them before you're like, wait, I've already seen this. Right.
I did. I did. It happened to me. Like I was watching it and I was like, oh, wait, I've already seen this one. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it worked perfectly. That's great, dude. I'm glad you had a great experience at WorkbenchCon. And, you know, I'm glad you've represented the podcast well. And your brand, did you hand out your own stickers to people?
The garage stickers? Man, I ran out of stickers. I brought like 150 stickers because like Maker's Camp, I gave away like 50-100 stickers, something like that. And I was like, I probably won't give away any more, but I probably would have given away 200 stickers. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, estimate how many people were there. Like, do you have an idea? Like
Over 500
I think they sold 500 tickets. So
that's a lot of makers, man.
It's a lot of makers. It really is. And it's funny, though. I will say, I think more people at Makers Camp knew who I was, right? Than at Workbench. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. 500 people, that's a lot. There's you know, tons of makers I feel like I'm on Instagram all the time and I'm looking at different makers, not just my feed. Like I'm looking at, you know, all kinds of stuff and I try and see new things, and there's still a shit ton of people that were, you know, were being shared by the Workbench Con people, you know, feed, you know what I mean? Cause I was watching that all weekend and I was like, I don't know this person. Not that I know people, but I mean, I don't even, never even seen their name. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. There's so many, this community is huge. It's fucking huge. Oh, how did the Bumble shoots, how did that go? I mean, did you hang out with Eric?
They were busy the entire time, and he had a phenomenal booth location. He was right across from the Onefinity guys, right?
Oh, nice.
So it was, and then the Surf Prep people there also had a great, I met Skyler. You know, who wasn't at our thing. I got to see Hannah, seeing Hannah is always awesome. But Bumble Shoots really, dude, he had a nice little setup. It looked great. And he was busy the whole entire time. Like every time, I had to hunt him down to say hi to him. And like, I sent some people to his booth, but like, man, he was busy the whole time. He had a bunch of these little like coins and like wooden coins. Yeah. It was like letting people finish them there. And like, it was really fucking cool. So
yeah, I texted him on Saturday just to be like, hey man, how's it going? You know, like, are you having a good time? Are you enjoying yourself? Whatever. And it took him like a couple hours to get back to me. And he said the same thing. He's like, dude, it's just been nonstop. He's like, I haven't been able to like leave the booth at all, like the whole time.
No, so, dude. Yeah,
that's what you want. That's what you wanted, dude. It's like that's the point of being there. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. I'm glad.
I loved hanging out with the Onefinity guys. Like, those dudes are so much fucking fun. Ben is amazing, and Stone was funny. Dude, that dude, like, I was late one night. I was trying to give people taffy, right? And everyone's like, that's weird to know. And like Stone rolls up and he's a young dude. He's like, I'm like, you want some taffy? He's like, fuck yeah. He's like a little drunk. He's like, fucking give me all this goddamn taffy. I'll eat it right now. Goddamn now. No one wants your taffy? I'll take your taffy. Like, where did it even come from? I mean, keep asking, where does it come from? I was like, it's my hoodie. My hoodie taffy.
Hoodie taffy.
I thought that shit was hilarious. People thought I was weird, which is fine. Have you tried my hoodie taffy? So
that's great, man.
Dude, the whole thing was just, and like seeing everybody was just so fucking cool. And I am bad, right? Because I am used to networking events, right? Being in sales for so long. So when I'm in a room like that, I tend not to linger very long. And I try to talk to as many people as possible. And like, I had a couple of people who were like, dude, I wanted to talk to you. And like, every time I turned around, you're like in a different part of the room talking to a different crowd of people. You know, I don't know. I think it would be, look, if you could ever make it to one of these things, dude, I think that not only A, you would have an amazing time, but it would be cool, man. You know, it'd be really fun to like, you know, there was two people there podcasting on site, right?
Yeah.
Which was fun. The storyteller, I didn't see where Matt from Voltner with the Maker's Lounge, I don't see where he was podcasting from.
Yeah,
but these two dudes, Lee and Mush,
that's the name. It's a radio, it's a fucking radio name if I've ever heard it.
You're right, Mush. He even looked like a radio jock. Like they, it was funny. So we sat down with them, and like they were basically taking two makers and interviewing them for like 20-30 minutes each, right?
Yeah,
and they did a fuck ton of these interviews, right? And like they were right next to Dave, who was scanning people, right? And Dave's like, oh, he's like, you should get on Luke. And they're like, who's this fucking Luke guy? So like they introduce me and they're like, yeah, we'd love to have you on. I'm like, yeah, no problem, right? So I ended up being the last, like the last person was the person who put on Workbench Con, right?
It's like, yeah.
But the second to last one was Justin from Campfire Woodworks and myself. And we pretty much derailed every single thing that they were trying to talk to us about. It was high energy, hot mess, like wild. It was wild. And like they left. Yeah. They told us when we left, they're like, they both like as soon as it was done, and they're like, and done. They both take their headphones off, like kind of like throw them onto the table, slap their foreheads, and they're like, dear Lord, like that was fun. And they're like every all day we've been interviewing everyone. Everyone's been nice and considerate and serious and entertaining. He said, but the energy level's been very flat all day long. He goes, and then you guys come and it's like boom off the scales, right?
Yeah.
And like you've heard me go on other people's podcasts, I try to cause as much chaos as possible, right?
No, of course.
We had like I'd say a third of our fucking time we talked about food, and then like he's like, and then we talked to the lady who put our workbench on, and we had to like put our serious faces back on again, and they're like,
yeah, damn it.
Like you fucking, it was out of control. So that's I don't know when that's coming out, but yeah.
Oh, nice! That'll be fun. I'd love to check that out. Yeah. Did you see Tiff at all? Like, is she like bouncing around like crazy? Is she working while she's there, or is she there just hanging out, or?
So she was hanging out with Mary Lou. Mary Lou was doing a lot of the photo and video for the event. But they were moving around the whole time. So like I actually got to hang out with Tiffany this time. Whereas at Maker's Camp, she was doing like Sabretooth demos the whole time. And like I went up to talk to her at one point. And she blamed me, though. It was funny. She blamed me for not talking to her at Maker's Camp because every time I tried to talk up, she was busy working. And then at night, she's like, every time I turn around, you were fucking bouncing around, or where'd Luke go, or who's he talking to now? And it's like, can somebody please get him over here? Like, we just wanted to sneak off and get high. So, I don't know. It was funny. But I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome. That happened to me like 20 times at fucking Maker's Camp, but it only happened to me one time at Workbench. And it was the worst possible fucking time. Dude, I was sitting there, and I'm talking to Jimmy DiResta, and I just met Mike Alm, so the three of us are talking, okay? And I'm like, fucking, because I love Jimmy. I think I don't like him because of like a starstruck thing or anything like that. I really respect his work that he's done, but personality-wise, like I vibe with Jimmy. He has this goofy streak to him. Right, that like I just want to pull out and see how funny he could get, right?
Yeah,
because when I did my video interview with him, dude, he was doing like some Marx Brothers shtick, right? And I didn't even realize I was just playing with him, right? I've talked to Mike Alm for years, right? And like I finally got to meet him, right? And I'm talking to them, and I'm just like, we're just saying, hi, how's it going? And like, fucking got someone behind me like yanking on my fucking hoodie, like, yo, let's go get high. Come on. Like, I'm talking here, and I'm like, can you give me like 5 minutes? And they're like, no, now. We're ready now. I'm like, God damn it. So fucking I ended up, you know, I'm like, look, I'm like, you want to come with you?
I didn't have a choice over your idols.
I didn't have a choice, bro. Like they were like, I told them, I'm like, do you see who I'm talking to? Like, I'm not gonna say who it was, right? But like they know that like I like Mike Alm, right?
Yeah.
And, like they know I hadn't met Mike Alm before. And I was super excited. They're like, "You can fucking talk to him later." I'm like, "Oh my God,
jeez, man."
Yeah, I was like, "God damn it!" So then I ended up going, but it's fine. I didn't get enough time to talk to anybody I wanted to, but so I don't know.
Dude, like, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I like, dude, I could do a whole. Fucking another! Oh my God, it's already an hour and 15 minutes. I could do like a whole another hour on just like some of the people I talk to, man. And
oh, I bet,
dude. It's just a great assemblance of people, and it's a great event, and I would highly recommend it. And it's funny. Somebody asked me like, "Hey, you ever consider teaching a class here?" I'm like, hey, look, if they want a class on how to make people feel uncomfortable in public, I'm ready to teach that. You need somebody who knows how to create an awkward situation? I'm your guy.
Yeah. Real quick, before we go, were there very many live, actual live? I saw House of Timbers, I think, was doing live scroll cutting, scroll song.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Were there House any Timber. Other? Were there any yes. other live things like that?
Yes, there was. Somebody was doing power carving. I didn't check it out. And then a bunch of dudes were doing timber framing, and they made this like workbench con, like elaborate gong kind of a thing. I don't know.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. I saw that. And then people were hitting it with that big old mallet.
Yeah. And like people really, a lot of people contributed into making that thing. And it was really, that was pretty cool. Total Boat did a lot of demos. Total Boat, Lindsay did.
Dre
some,
was there doing her stuff. Yeah.
Dre was there. Lindsay was there. What's her name? She has her own damn epoxy. I could look it up. Anyways, there's a lot of cool epoxy stuff going on. Somewhere there was a leather stitching class that I missed out on, where people were sewing wallets, which was cool. I don't like my wallet. No, I don't think that wallet would replace mine, but it did seem like a fun thing.
Nice.
But dude, like I said, man, there was more to do than time to do it. So
yeah, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be able to do everything, but you also want to have enough choices that it's not just stagnant, which is awesome, man. It sounds like a great event. I'm glad you guys had a good time. I wish I could have been there. You got anything else to put a bow on this? I don't think we need to do patrons and all that shit on this one.
I would just say that if somebody, you guys are listening to this, and you know, just realize that I will say that I wish I could have hung out with you guys more. I wish this could have been like, even if this thing was 2 fucking weeks long. Like Mike Holmes was there, right?
Man, yeah.
Like I didn't get much of an opportunity to hang out with him. He was buzzing around. Lee, same thing. I got to hang out with Kamani for the first time, which was about exactly how I expected it would go. I got to hang out with Grant from Dag Crafted. I got to hang out with Corey, and even though he vandalized my hotel room, like, he was great. I would say my parting message would be that if you were there and you saw me, I will wish I could have hung out with you more. So,
there you go. There's always next year.
This has been a Conman Creative production. Text us anytime at 908-768-2664 or send us a message on our Instagram, The Jointery Podcast. You can find Ben at Condorosa Creations or Luke at Luke in the Garage. Everywhere that social media is sold. That's garage, not garage. Say it properly.